Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings call of the third quarter of 2023 of Rede D'Or. We have here Mr. Paulo Moll, President, Otávio Lazcano, VP of Finance and IR, Investor Relations, Raquel Reis, CEO of Health and Dentistry of SulAmérica. The event will last for 1 hour, and the recording will be available at the IR website of the company. Our presentation, after the initial presentation, we're going to have the Q&A. Before we continue, we would like to clarify that any statements that might be done during the earnings call regarding the business perspectives of Rede D'Or, projections, operational goals, and financial goals are based on premises and beliefs of the board of directors, based on information that is currently available. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance, involve risks and uncertainties. They are related to events and circumstances that might or might not take place. Investors should understand that economic and industry conditions and other operational factors might affect the future performance of the company and might lead to results that are different from the forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Paulo Moll. He will start the earnings call. Mr. Moll, the floor is yours. Thank you. Have a nice day. I'm going to start with the operational highlights of the third quarter of 2023 in a consolidated way, Rede D'Or and SulAmérica. If we can compare with the second quarter and the first quarter of 2023, we don't have the consolidated reference for 2022. In the gross revenue, we have the 12.9 billion reais, 3.6 growth according in comparison to the previous quarter. The EBITDA consolidated 1.9 billion reais. It's a growth of 18.4% against the second quarter of 2023 and a growth of 42% against the first quarter of 2023, reaching a net income of 760 million reais, 74.6% above the second quarter of 2023, 150% above the first quarter of 2023. To remind you, the adjusted net income, so excluding the amortization of the portfolio of SulAmérica because of the acquisition, we would reach the number of 811 million reais, which would be a greater growth. Now, the standalone, we have the 7.4 billion reais. This is a growth of 8.3% against the third quarter of 22. We're talking about the average ticket of a growth of 7.4% based on the third quarter of 2022. So it's very healthy. The occupancy of 80.1%. Record number of surgeries, 132,000, a growth of almost 5% in regards to the third quarter of 22, and the operational beds, 9,500, which is 9,600, which is less 46 beds less than the second quarter of 23. So we would like to clarify that the company prioritized profitability. We discontinued a series of contracts with operators that had difficulty receiving the pricing or readjustments, annual readjustments. Operators with a lower average ticket than the ticket of the company and with a greater risk, associated risk. The company understood that we would be conservative and we would discontinue these contracts. Obviously, part of these patients migrate to other operators, other products that have access to our hospitals. Only three that we discontinued the contract over the last few quarters. We're talking about 300 beds that these products, these operators used to occupy in our hospitals, and we managed to get a growth in the other operators, the other products. We replenished almost the totality of the 300 beds that were occupied by the discontinued products. Now, moving on, let's talk about the materials and total gross revenues of hospital services. So There is the comparison with the order of 22. We can see that, as we've signaled to you before, our goal was to reach the goals of 2019, and we're very close to our best quarters in the company. Let's talk about the EBITDA of Rede D'Or standalone. So we're talking about 1,800 million, that is 22% above the third quarter of 22, 13.5% above the second quarter of 23. We have a series of effects that are non-recurring in our results, negative and positive effects. We have 330 million positive because of a reduction of a provision and a victory that we had in the PIS and COFINS tax, and two adjustments, non-recurrent in terms of PDD delinquencies, that we wanted to protect some discontinued contracts with the operators. Doesn't mean that we're not going to not seek these receivables. We have the expectations of receiving them, but we are going to be conservative, and we're going to do the provision. With that, we have a net effect of the non-recurrent effects of 151 million reais positive. And so, adjusting with the recurring EBITDA, so we would have the 1,690 adjusted EBITDA, which would be a growth in regards to the third quarter of 2022. The margin of EBITDA, which just was 22.3%, if adjusted by the non-recurrent events, it goes to 25.8% with a growth of 0.9% in regards to the third quarter of 2022, and with a growth of 0.05 in regards to the second quarter of 2023. Now let's talk about SulAmérica. We have the net revenue of 6.9 billion reais, growth of 4.7% in regards to the second quarter. The user base, 5 million of beneficiaries, 2.9 in health, the other in dentistry. Comparison year-on-year, we have a growth of 2.3%. In the comparison quarter-on-quarter, we have a reduction that stems from a big contract that the company decided to discontinue, a contract that had a lot of deficit associated. Now, looking at the debt profile, we have 86.1% in the third quarter, the consolidated loss ratio. If we compare it to the 87.3% in the third quarter of 2022, so there is an improvement in 1.2 percentage points. And also quarter-on-quarter, we have a reduction in the consolidated loss ratio if you compare it to the third and the second quarter, 23.2%. So still, even though we're talking about quarters that have a worse seasonality, second and third, we show an evolution that we are still at a level that we consider high, but with great expectations to continue to evolve down the future. I would also like to highlight that SulAmérica, there has been a great work, and we have the administrative synergies. We're going to show you the numbers. I would like to highlight that in the third quarter, we deliver a level of administrative expense of 4.4% of the revenue. That number, it was in 2022, was above 7%. So there is an important gain of efficiency, as we pointed out, that we would seek, and it is a very efficient number, and we will continue to work with it. Let's talk about the expansion projects. We have a few projects that are very advanced. Brownfields, such as the new tower of Vila Nova Star. We have the expansion as well of Aliança Hospital, the expansion of Memorial Hospital. Brownfields, that we have a high conviction of occupancy, Vila Nova Star and Aliança and Memorial already have occupancy levels in its current beds, very high occupancy levels. In the case of Aliança Hospital, in addition to the high occupancy that we have in the hospital, we covered over 35,000 lives of SulAmérica, lives of products that are above in the Salvador geography that didn't have previous access to Aliança Hospital. So it increases our conviction of our very quick ramp-up of the brownfields. So let's talk about the greenfields as well. They are relatively advanced. We have Macaé Hospital, Macaé Dor, in a region that is underserviced for reference hospitals. We have a great optimism. Also, Alphaville in Guarulhos in the state of São Paulo. These are regions that have good coverage and with an income that is compatible with the presence of a San Luis and lack of quality hospital beds. So we're going to work with these projects, and also we have a great optimism that we're going to have a ramp up that is similar to Campinas in the state of São Paulo. We launched it in the end of May, and we should get the break even in the sixth month of operations. This increases our conviction of the other greenfields that were selected in regions that really lacked a lot of beds. I'm going to give the floor to Octavio. I will be here available for the Q&A. Thank you, Paulo, once again. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to work on what Paulo said. So patient day and surgical volume. We can see on your left, on your graph on the left, we have the occupancy rate of 80.1% in the third quarter of 23, an increase of half a percentage point if you compare it to the same period in the previous year. The company also reported 707,000 patient stay. This is a decrease of 2.4% in the comparison quarter on quarter, a growth of almost 1% if you have year-on-year comparison. On the graph on the right, the company reported 132,000 surgeries total, a growth of 4.9 growth since the second quarter, and a growth of 4.9% if you compare it year-on-year. The company also reported 96,000 large surgeries, so there is a growth of over 8% and a growth of over 4% year-on-year. 8% was quarter-on-quarter. So, hospital beds evolution. On the left, you can see the reported 9,600 operational beds, a stability in comparison quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year. Paulo already discussed this, the decision of the company to reduce its exposure to paying parties where we have an average ticket that is lower, and therefore the credit risk would be higher. And its impacts in the follow-up of the total number of beds is there. On the right, we have reported 11,512 total beds for the third quarter 23, stability quarter-on-quarter, growth of 450 beds in the comparison year-on-year. We include here the 325 beds of San Luis Campinas, open doors in mid-May of this year, as well as the brownfield of San Rafael, and other small brownfields that are in addition. Page 7, gross revenue and average ticket. We have the hospital services. At the left, we reported a total gross revenue for that segment of 7.3 billion reais in the third quarter of 2023, a growth of 2.5%. In the comparison quarter-on-quarter, a growth of 8.3% in the comparison year-on-year. In the same way, the total gross revenue of 21.4 billion reais for the first 9 months of 23, a growth of almost 11% if you compare it year on year. At the right, we have the total average ticket consolidated of 10,425 reais in the third quarter of 23, a growth of 5.1%. In the quarter on quarter comparison, a growth of 7.4% in the comparison year on year. Page 8, gross revenue and average ticket. Now in the oncology segment. On your left, the company reported a gross revenue of 699 million reais in the third quarter of 23. We have a growth of 5.1% in the comparison quarter-on-quarter, growth of 11.6% comparison year-on-year. The company also reported a gross revenue in that segment of 2.1 billion reais for the first 9 months of this year, a growth of almost 18% in the comparison year-on-year. On your right, we have the reported average ticket for that segment, 11,739 reais in the third quarter of 23, a growth of 4.2% in the comparison quarter-on-quarter, a growth of 12.6% in the comparison year-on-year. Page 9, Costs and expenses for the hospital services. As usual, on the left, we will start with the cost with hospital services. The reported costs of 4,949 million reais in the third quarter of 2023, a growth of 1.3% in the comparison quarter quarter, a growth of 8.6% in the comparison year on year. As Paulo has previously stated, except the amortization of the event of the portfolios of SulAmérica and the exclusivity contracts, that growth in the annual growth would be 7% in the same analysis in the same period. Also, the company reported costs of 14,553 million reais for the first 9 months for the FY of 23, a growth of 9.8% if you compare it to the first 9 months of 22. And with the same adjustments, the growth would be lower, would be a growth of 8.1%. Once again, lower than the growth of the revenue for that comparison, 9 months of this year in comparison to the FY 22. If you compare it to the right, the company reported expenses, general administrative expense, negative of 400 of 275 million, of minus 54 million, I'm sorry. Once you disregard the reversal and the provision of the contingencies, it would be 275 million reais, a growth of 13 million reais facing the second quarter in the same FY 23. The 13 million reais can be justified with a growth of expenses and personnel and a growth of subcontracted services, which is included the IT maintenance and so on and so forth. The company reported SG&A of 474 million reais for the first 9 months of this FY. Once again, if you adjust it by the reversal of the provision for the contingencies of PIS and COFINS, it would be a growth of 110 million reais facing the first 9 months of 22, which can be justified as a growth of expenses of depreciation of investments in the area of IT of 34 million reais, with an increase of 45 million reais of expenses with personnel here, provisioning for the payment of the profit sharing for the FY of 23. Once in 22, the company was away from getting to its goals at that time. Page 10, EBITDA and net revenue. Once again, on your left, company reported an EBITDA, accounting EBITDA, 1,841 million in the third quarter of 23, a growth of 13.5% in the previous quarter comparison, a margin of EBITDA of 28.3%. Paulo highlighted, adjusted by the non-recurring events, this EBITDA accounting would be 1,690. The margin EBITDA would be 25.8%. In the same way, the company reported an EBITDA accounted for the first 9 months of 4.9 billion reais, a margin EBITDA of 25.8%. Once again, once you adjust it for the non-recurring events, it would be 4,771 million reais, and margin EBITDA 25%, and still a growth in the EBITDA in the year-on-year comparison of 70%. On your right, the company reported a net revenue, net income of 1.4 billion reais for the first 9 months of 23. Once you adjust the accounting effect of the amortization of the value of the portfolios of SulAmérica and exclusivity contracts, it would be having 811 million reais, 1,673 for the third quarter and the 9 months, respectively. Page 11, SulAmérica. On your left, the company reported the net revenue in that segment of 6,951 million reais, a growth of 14.1% in the comparison year-on-year. On your right, to the top, consolidated loss ratio of 86.1%, drop of 0.2 percentage points in the comparison quarter-on-quarter, drop of 1.2% in the year-on-year comparison. Still on your right below the beneficiaries for health and dental, we have 4.9 million, a small drop when you compare it to the previous quarter, and an increase if you compare it to the third quarter of 22. Page 12, debt profile. Company reported the cash and cash equivalents, the total gross debt 33.4. If we exclude the technical provisions, 17.5 billion reais for net cash for technical reserves. The leverage with the net debt over the EBITDA LTM 2.3 times. The average deadline 5 years for indebtedness. So with the control of CDI plus 0.9%. On the right, we have the schedule for the debt amortization of the company that can be easily faced with the available cash for the company. There is no big refinance, no rollout of the debt up ahead that couldn't be easily faced with the available cash for the company. Page 13, almost finishing. Always starting on the left. The reconciliation of the managerial cash flow with the company, if you start with the reported EBITDA for the first 9 months of 4.8 billion reais, we have an adjustment positive for the working capital of 518 million reais. Thereafter, we have the negative adjustment of 429 million reais for other balance sheet items. Here, we have 330 million of the reversion of the provision for the PIS and COFINS tax. There's going to be an accounting effect immediately for the company. We have a cash effect as we remove the judicial deposits that were done with several causes related to this issue. And we have a negative adjustment of 544 million reais regarding the leasing and the application of IFRS 16. And once again, on your right, we have the payment of taxes, 390 million reais. Once again, on your right, we have the investments, 2,171 million. Here we have 1,960 million reais for the development of greenfields and brownfields, 212 million reais in other, 43 million in M&A expenses, and we have an adjustment negative for 695 million reais regarding the financial activities, treasury, amortizations, payment of JCP, and net financial expenses of the bank of the company. A positive variation in the cash flow of 1,160 million reais in the first 9 months of 2023. Last but not least, on your right, we have the average days receivable and the DIO exclusively for the services of hospital services. We have a stability in the records. So therefore, I finish the presentation of the results. Once again, thank you very much, and I open for Q&A. We will start the Q&A session for investors and analysts. Should you want to ask any questions, please raise your hand. If your question has been answered, you can lower your hand. Due to the limitation of the time on this earnings call, we kindly request the analysts to limit themselves to just two questions so that more people can take part. Please wait while we gather the questions. First question, Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan. The floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Paulo and Otávio. Thank you for this opportunity. I wanted to explore two issues on the hospital. The first one, Paulo commented at the opening bit about the ramp-up of the hospitals that were recently launched. If you can give us some color in the movement of beds all throughout the last months and the last year. And we're talking about capacity, but we do not see an addition of operational capacity per se in the period. So I understand that there was discontinuity in some operations of materiality in Rio, and that brings efficiency to the group. So if you can give us a bridge so we can understand what was the opening of new beds and rationalization for the portfolio. I understand that there was, you finished a few contracts that end up affecting, temporarily speaking, a bit of the demand. So that's the first question. Second question is along the issue of provisions and PDD, debtors that are in doubt. What is the recurrent? I mean, I understand that there's been some agreements and it's larger on the long term, but what would be the percentage of the revenue from up ahead, that line of PDD? Hello, this is Paulo. Let me try and give you more on the ramp up and the movement of beds. Well, here are the hospitals that we have the biggest impact. We have three operators for the adjustments of registering. They occupied, they ended up occupying in these products on average 300 patients, 300 for Rededor. Concentration was in four hospitals, the hospital of San Carlos, Fortaleza, Aracaju, San Lucas, and two of our hospitals from Brasilia. So we're talking about Santa Lucia and Santa Helena. These are important volumes, very relevant. So the 300 beds, they were distributed amongst those hospitals that I just mentioned. In the case of Aracaju and San Carlos, I would like to say that about 50% of those beds that had the occupancy, because through those products, we managed to replenish with a migration of the lives, with a natural growth with the other operators. In the case of Brasilia, I would like to say that even more, 60%. And we have the expectation that those 50-40% all throughout next year, we managed to replenish them. This is the big impact in the reduction of capacity. Of course, we did not reduce our capacity in 150 beds because we have other effects of opening different beds in different units. For example, Campinas, you remember that always in the green fields, we have a projection that we think is conservative of opening 80 beds per year. In the case of Campinas, we have over 50 open beds that occupied with almost 70% occupancy gets us to the break-even that I commented that we are reaching now in the sixth month of operations. So we are launching in the greenfields. We have the same mindset and the projections, and we have the capacity and demand. We are getting into markets that are not well served. So the demand that exists and it's not serviced locally. So the patients are going to the central area in the case of Guarulhos and Alphaville. They're going to the city of São Paulo in the conurbation of São Paulo and seeking service of quality. Well, around those geographies, there is lower quality. So we are sure that we're going to do the ramp up of those units. Even thinking about the size of the challenge, Campinas, in regards to the other units, it has a larger challenge because you have 70% of the lives concentrated in operators that we do not service within the hospital. So that reality is very different once we go to Guarulhos and Alphaville and Macaé as well. And when we're talking about brownfields, of course, Comfort is larger with the demand that we know. The hospital's already operating and with high utilization, and we are more at ease. In the case of the bad debt, it's a one-off based on the contracts that we do not continue. We have a horizon that this shouldn't happen in the next quarters. It's not in the plans. We have in the hospitals, acquired hospitals, a variation. And after observing them for a longer period, and seeing the recovery of delinquency and the delinquency levels, they should have a provision for the delinquency that is larger. And the impact of that, if I tell you the number, well, Tafi, correct me if I'm wrong, the impact in the consolidated is 0.3%. So we're talking about removing with our provision of delinquency for to 5.3%, and this is a recurring effect. Thank you, Paulo. Next question from Mr. Ricardo Boiati from Safra Bank. The floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. Paulo, Otavio, and all the participants. I have two questions. First, if you can complement the issue of expansion, if there are some interesting clues in regards to the expansion, but if you can give us an update of what are the openings expected for the fourth quarter and all throughout 2024, how you're going to implement the expansion of the brownfield greenfield, how has it been implemented in accordance to your projections? And if that movement for normalization of the delinquency can benefit this expansion for 2024, we see a lot of healthcare plans to correct this. Can this help you with the equalization in the, and maybe there is an acceleration in the expansion? And the second point is in regards to SulAmérica. SulAmérica has shown an increase of sequentiality in the delinquency, so there might be an acceleration that is stronger from the fourth quarter of 2024 as the readjustments start to accumulate in the portfolio, so they can be more relevant and in regards to the evolution of SulAmérica's delinquency that has evolved a lot. So I'm going to get part of your question, and then in regards to the expansion, I'm going to give it to Otavio. I'm going to give it to Otavio so he can be more specific. In regards to the part of the normalizations of these accidents in the healthcare plans, we have the expectation of an improvement for 2024. We still imagine that 2024 is going to be a year of replenishing. We see the market worried about getting profitability and rebalancing. So we imagine that this is going to have an improvement in the claims in 2024. I apologize. And this is going to be a more balanced scenario when you have more balance in between the healthcare operators. In the case of SulAmérica, we have shown an evolution. Still, we have a high standard, but we have the expectation of continuing with an improvement, progressive improvement in the claims. There's still a lot of work to do, but the great perspectives, we expect them to be aligned with what we discussed over the last earnings call, progressive improvements in the claims, once you observe the seasonality between the quarters. There are some quarters that are more under pressure than others, but we expect to improve quarter on quarter, observing the seasonality. I'm going to give it to the floor to Otavio in regards to the more specific dates of our launches. Boiati, Paulo commented that the investments are substantially aligned with the temporal line plan for them. So the answer here, so we don't go over project and project, we have the reference form of the company, and we present from page 209 onwards, project per project, the number of beds, the budget, the geographic placement, the difference between brownfields and greenfields. This is the best information of the company at the time, what is in the reference guidelines. Thank you very much. Next question is from Samuel Alves from BTG Pactual. The floor is yours. Good morning, Paulo, Otavio, Raquel, everyone. Two questions on my side. First, regarding a subject that Paulo talked about, the claims in SulAmérica in the previous call in the second quarter, the company mentioned that they really believed in a normalization of 18 to 24 months, maybe before. Question is that affirmation still true, or there is any new variable that might change that? Second question. But the synergies with SulAmérica, a company showing once again the amount of synergies that is a big volume of over 600 million reais of synergies already captured. But looking at the DRE of SulAmérica, we see that the general administrative expenses even went up quarter on quarter in the third quarter. Question is that due to the non-recurrent, that initial synergy, or should we see these synergies, these capture of synergies flowing for the administrative expenses that are lower in the P&L of SulAmérica? That's it. So, well, I'm going to answer the part of SulAmérica along with Raquel. The best way for you to follow those synergies is for you to see that we're delivering the administrative expenses in regards to premiums. We're talking about a reduction of 7.4% to 4.4% now in the third quarter of 2023. As we pointed out, a great deal of the 600 million, there are things that are impacting the claims volume. We are talking about the negotiation of medications, materials, MedMed, the procurement that we gather with the Rede D'Or to gather the benefits. But a great deal of the 600 million is in the administrative, and you see that dilution, which is very relevant. Maybe there are some contingency effects. When you see the aggregate, you cannot do the follow-up of those reductions. But if you observe in an isolated way, the administrative, we are at a more efficient and non-exhaustive threshold. We are still going to capture a few things. There is an execution. One of the example is the building that we are going to migrate to a rent that is lower in an area that is less than the area that we occupy now, and it's going to be within the 600 million that is mapped as an execution, but is not in the numbers of the third quarter. It will be in from 24 onwards. I'm going to give Raquel the floor to complement your questions about our vision of improving progressive improvement of the claims volume, reinforcing that our vision is still intact. We are positive, still at a high threshold about the future and the improvements quarter on quarter. Raquel. Hi, Samuel. Thank you for the question. In regards to the claims volume, as Paulo has stated, we expect to continue with this gradual trajectory of improving in the claims over the next quarters. We know that historically, the fourth quarter ends up having a lower seasonality, but with the pandemic, we still did not feel a normalized fourth quarter. So we need to see what's up ahead. We continue to believe. I would like to say that over the next 18 months, we should have a threshold that is more stabilized. We're closer to what we knew in the pre-pandemic scenario. This is due to several levers. There is readjustment, there is sales, there is the management of the claim itself, and creativity in the budgeting of products. For example, now, if you remember, two calls back, we commented on the launch of the new portfolio for the wholesale, for the retail that have a more intelligent reimbursement. And we zeroed the reimbursement for the base of the pyramid, and we have a reimbursement that is more adequate for the top of the pyramid. So this sell over the last 2 months was integrally of these new products, and we didn't have any loss of volume. So this is a great news because it plants harvests that are healthier, that should have a lower claims volume. For the next year, we still expect levels of readjustments that are above the thresholds that we used to see due to this adjustment post-pandemic. And the explanation is, well, it was the operation is still affected, but it's still moving along the lines that what we commented in the previous talks. Thank you. Thank you, Raquel and Paulo. Thank you so much. Next question is from Mr. Gustavo Tiseo, Bank of America. The floor is yours. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. First, I wanted to talk about the SulAmérica. There was an increment of 1 billion in the third quarter. It's above what happened in the first semesters of 1.6 million. Is there maybe the PEONA? That's what really withhold the claims in SulAmérica. And the second question is oncology. Oncology, it has a volume that is very flat in the first quarter. And the third, if you compare it year on year, there was a drop. Is there anything specific, the increase in competitiveness that makes that volume more stable? Those are the questions. Thanks. I'm going to get the first one from oncology. We didn't have a growth of volume due to the discontinuity of products, specific products that we used to service in one of our regional geographies. So we would have a growth, but we discontinued services. It's a very similar analysis to what I provided to the hospitals. In regards to PEONA, I'm going to give the floor to Raquel. Thank you. Thank you for the question. Well, as I always prefer to talk about PNB, which reflects the provisions, general provisions that we consider PEONA and PSL, and everything that was discussed. There is no change in methodology. We still practiced over the last few years. I think that we should say that there is a degree of conservative, being more conservative because of all the scenario of uncertainties and the post-pandemic moment. But the constitution of these claims, PEONA and PSL, are due to the seasonality that we are observing in the quarters and the books. Of course, if we need to adjust it up or down over the next few months, it should happen. But we, for now, are seeing this constitution that is very adherent to our day-to-day operations. Thank you. Next question, Mr. Gustavo Miele from Goldman Sachs. The floor is yours. Good morning, Paulo, Otávio, Raquel. Thank you for the presentation. I wanted to ask two questions as well. The first one related to the hospital operations ticket. There was quarter-on-quarter variation 5%, a threshold that is close to the third quarter of last year with an inflation of this year and a threshold that is lower. I wanted to hear from you if you can help us see the performance of this ticket in the technical level with the readjustments that you implemented in the third quarter. I followed a concentration, a reasonable concentration of adjustments in the quarter of this year and an increment in the mix, as Paulo has commented at the beginning, about the increase in the volume of surgeries. I wanted to know if there is a relevant impact in the performance of the ticket in this quarter. Second question, I wanted to restart the discussion of the claims of SulAmérica, based focusing on the claim itself. If you look at the INS data, you see the percentage of the reimbursement for the claim, total percent total claim of South America was about 10%. In 23, we have a threshold close to 12%. So I wanted to understand, what is the space that you see to maybe, with the rationalization of reimbursement, you have a diligent fight against fraud? So it would be factual for us to think about reimbursement with a percentage of the claim that is going back to the threshold pre-pandemic, close to 10%, or maybe something larger. So we can try to map what can be mitigated in terms of costs. Those are the two questions. About the hospital ticket. Of course, when we increase the number of total surgeries and big complex surgeries in a company, we have a positive impact in the ticket. We also have the, as time goes by, we have a cumulative effect of all the readjustments of all the healthcare plans, all the paying parties that were done within the fiscal FY that are appearing in each of the quarters. You are correct. In fact, we have a concentration with readjustments with the paying parties that are relevant in the context of invoicing of the company that happened in the third quarter. That sum of factors results in a growth of 5.1% and the variation of the average ticket year quarter on quarter. Hi, Gustavo, Raquel. In regards to the claim and reimbursement, here there is no silver bullet. Here is a series of actions, and we are very diligent. As you highlighted, we have a big team that is anti-fraud team, and we have protocoled several judiciary issues. So we cut the intermediaries that were benefiting, and this continues to be accelerated. In regards to the percentage that you mentioned, over the last few months that are outside of the period that we discussed, we still see a curve of trends in reducing the representativeness of reimbursement. There was a month that we already got to the 10%, but it's not good that we have a goal. So let's just say that this operation will be healthy when it's a 10 or 11. No, it's not that, because that depends on your portfolio mix. Once you have products, it's not reasonable that the percentage of reimbursement is above 1%. So 5 years ago, we had the basic lines. The reimbursement would represent half of the claim. When we talk about products with an average ticket that is higher, a hospital network that is broader, of course, that would mean more. So I have products that run with a good claims, and there is a participation in reimbursement in the even 40%. So we have to see the mix of products to try and understand if that representativeness of the reimbursement is adequate or not. But being very objective, in over the last few months, we are seeing a continuous drop of that representativeness of the reimbursement because of all the legal actions that we implemented. What's also going to accelerate this is the harvest that is being planted for sales. So all those products that I sell monthly, 15,000 lives that get in of the retail that come with a modular reimbursement. So that means that the basic plans, they have a reimbursement only for emergency appointments. There is no reimbursement for exam. There was a big offender. There is no reimbursement for therapy, which was another offender. A well-dimensioned network for the reimbursement for the basic is not network is not necessary. Clear. Thank you. Otavio, Raquel. Next question is from Mr. Vinicius Figueiredo, Itaú BBA. The floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. I wanted to start talking about SulAmérica. Regardless of the fact that we've seen in this quarter the average ticket expanding a lot in the quarter on quarter, I think it was 7 or 8%. We also seen a strong increase in the claims for the beneficiary that grew 6% quarter on quarter. So I wanted to understand, what would you attribute the increase in complexity, surgeries that we've seen in the hospital side and Rede D'Or? Was it something that you've observed in the network of accredited in SulAmérica? Is there still a lot of negotiation with SulAmérica and the registered network that might mitigate the cost that is growing so high over the next quarters? And my second theme here would be, given that we are seeing the medical materials and the improvement on the quarters, and we've seen the delinquency that you commented that would be larger with the recurrent and the subcontracted parties related to the complexity, maybe. But the expectation of you closing the gap of EBITDA accounting and adjusted in 1 or 2 years still makes sense? Thank you. Hi, Vinicius. Raquel, I'm going to get the first question. We always try to see that ticket. Well, if the premium is going higher than the claim, that would be the ideal. So what would be, how can we attribute the numbers that you gave us? The seasonality, of course. We know that the third quarter is very complex in terms of frequency. It's also affected by the payments in regards to the the admittance due to the flus and the mosquito-borne diseases. And there is the seasonality of also in oncology. We live a moment of incorporation of new medications that were medications that, I mean, when would you hear about a drug of 8 million reais for one application? So, the incorporation of gene therapy, let's just say, that increases the average claims, it increases. So seasonality, there is still several lines of renegotiation happening, several partners sitting down with us. What we are always seeking is an alignment of interest. So it has to be good and it has to be sustainable for all the parts of the chain, even for the service provider. So that's strong with all the claims team. Vinicius, these are two different things. The dilution of the relevance of the category, hospital and medications, all throughout time is our, as we, is, this means more efficiency and with the exercise with a lever of operations that are very strong, which is our relevance within our healthcare sector. In regards to the providers of medication and MedMed, I would like to highlight that 19.4% reported in the third quarter of 18.9%. When we adjusted the mix between hospital services and the oncology business, it already gets us in the hospital business in a position that is even lower than the one that prevailed at the pandemic. That's one thing. The increase in provisioning for delinquency to 5.3%, the impact in this quarter of 85 million reais, and the full period of 9 months within this FY, this reflects on our decision to protect more the operational results and accounting results in a transitional moment that we still have a lot of claims, dispute of working capital and the paying parties and service providers. So the adjusted EBITDA that made sense at the worst times of the pandemic, where a lot of items, above all, MedMed and medications, we didn't have coverage in the paying parties. So we wouldn't even have the right to invoice and receive that. So it would make sense then that we would have to highlight the adjusted EBITDA. But as time goes by and as the pandemic is left behind, those differences between the accounting EBITDA and adjusted, they tend to be very small in the future, and they should be just limited to PRSO and long-term mechanisms that are similar, and M&A expenses. So the differences tend to decrease as time goes by. Thank you, Otavio. Our next question is from Mr. Leandro Bastos from Citibank. Mr. Leandro, your microphone is on. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Two quick questions. The first about SulAmérica, depending on, well, still working with the comment of Raquel, oxygenation of harvests and modularity adjustments. Can you give us the difference of the claims between the products and the legacy? I mean, what can help with the claims in the future? Second is a specific question on the financial result of the quarter. The company had a positive result. Usually that line is negative or close to neutral. So I just wanted to understand if there was anything atypical in the quarter. That's it. Hi, Leandro. Raquel here. I'm going to start by answering the issue of the difference in the claims of the new modular product in the portfolio versus the previous one. We still cannot measure. It's still very recent. We are in a period. We still have products that get in. Specifically, retail gets in with the mandatory time period. So these claims in this product is not going to be recurrent. But if I saw a basic line running product running at 7-8% of reimbursement, and when I remove the reimbursement, I have to consider that a part of that goes to the cost of network, the other part goes away. So in the limit, we hope for a gap, a difference in the claims between these two products of about 4%. This is an estimation. I am give well, we have the internal pricing that we still have to observe, and as they're going to mature over the next few months. For us to have some trust in the numbers only from 2024, mid-24 onwards, and then we're going to have a more mature harvest. Thank you. About the financial result, nothing extraordinary. Thank you. Next question. Mr. Caio Moscardini from Santander, the floor is yours. Everyone, thank you for the question. I have two. First, about the registering of new paying parties, specifically in the hospitals, greenfield hospitals that you have launched. How has it been? Have they been successful adding new paying parties? And also regarding Bradesco, have you managed to register Bradesco in these hospitals? And the second question is in regards to the working capital. We've observed a positive working capital, so I wanted to understand if this is a dynamic that should continue up ahead. Maybe the main line that is benefiting the working capital are the technical provisions. So should we be thinking about those lines up ahead? Well, I'm going to answer the first question, and then I'm going to give the floor to Otavio. The greenfields, if you observe Rede D'Or, we selected areas where we are building the best hospital in the geography. We're not just getting a new hospital in a competitive in a competitive region with quality reference beds. No, we are effectively building the hospital infrastructure in places that we understand that there is income or good penetration of healthcare plans of medium to high tickets, and they're going to have access to those infrastructures. And this is the situation in Campinas, in Guarulhos. This is the situation in Alphaville. This is the situation in Macaé, because of the amount of companies connected to oil and gas and Petrobras itself. So when we look at those infrastructures, the more recent one that we launched, we registered almost all the healthcare plans that work, the operators that work with that profile of ticket, SulAmérica, Porto, Omint, Care Cruz, Amil. Once you have a great deal of the operators registered, Then you'll have an ease where the client that wants to access that hospital, for them to access, whether if it's by the operator that they already are a client, or if they need seeking an improvement in the healthcare plan level within the operator, they have all the levels, which is the case of San Luis Campinas as well. And if there is another operator that has interest to access this infrastructure, the family or an HR, we see a lot of movement when we in the average to high ticket where we are positioning San Luis Campinas. We see a growth that is important and a good perspective for these healthcare plans that were registered. Now I give the floor to Otavio to talk about working capital. In this year, we brought back home 518 million reais in working capital. And this is one of the several aspects, positive aspects of the acquisition of SulAmérica. First, you receive the cash, and then you have the use of cash in the future. But this year, this is one of the positive effects of this transaction that allows us to include, to have a better management, more efficient management of the working capital. Thank you very much. Q&A session is closed. We're going to give the floor to Mr. Paulo so he can close the earnings call. Thank you very much for everyone that took part. And briefly, we will be together again. And I hope that we can continue with our works for the integration of SulAmérica, growth of our hospital network. The moment is a very challenging one, but we are at a position that is unique for the healthcare sector to offer better conditions and for us to accelerate once again the rate of growth. And considering the market conditions, we can deliver in terms of profitability with growth, interesting growth. And I hope that we can accelerate more with the country growing, the unemployment decreasing. And also with a more controlled claims volume, this is very important for work for the SulAmérica team to work with Raquel also being a leader of the group. And briefly, we should be adjourned. Thank you very much. The earnings call of Rede D'Or is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a nice day.